My name's Terry Wheeler. I work at the Texas Ag Experiment Station, Texas A&M University System in Lubbock, Texas. My colleague Jason Woodard and I cover cotton in the high plains of Texas. The last 3 years in a row, I've talked about verticillium wilt on cotton, specifically aimed at rating varieties, trying to get some sense of what varieties do best under verticillium wilt conditions. And probably I'll stand up here next year and give the same talk with a few changes. I do have a handout that I'll put at the back after my talk's completed of my what I turned in for my manuscript. It's got the list of ratings on them in case anybody wants to pick up a copy and look at it before those CDs come out. Verticillium wilt showed up with vengeance in about 2004. We hadn't seen it prior to that. We hadn't seen it since 1997. What happened in 2004, we had just the perfect weather for it, and it jumped up and was very severe. And we didn't have a clue what to plant. It seemed like every variety got it and got it bad. We didn't have variety tests in fields that had the disease, so we really came out of the 2004 season without knowing what to recommend for the next year. And so we initiated a lot of variety testing. The first one was done, was paid for by the Plains Cotton Grower Organization, and then since then Cotton State Support from Texas has been very generous about supporting what is a fairly large testing program. This just is a plant in the greenhouse. Soil has been inoculated with Verticillium dallei, and just to show you some of the symptoms, the disease starts around flowering typically if the weather's right. You get the lower leaves affected first, chlorosis, drooping, loss of turgor. The vascular system would be brown if you split it open. And it progresses up the plant, and you may or may not get defoliation depending on how severe it is. It is tied up to some extent with the weather. Weather is an important factor with it. But also the density of the fungus in the soil, and even the isolate you have. Some are more aggressive than others. The protocols we've been using is we identify the fields. Each year we go to different fields. There's one or two we might do 2 years in a row, but we've tried to move around and hit a lot of different fields so that we get these varieties exposed to a lot of different isolates of the fungus. This is going to actually combine data that I presented last year from 2006 as well as the additional data from 2007. At each site, we'll typically have 32 entries with 4 replications and a randomized complete block design. The plots are 2 rows wide, 35 feet long, and this year they were all with 40-inch centers. In both years that I'm going to present, they were with 40-inch centers. Of the number of sites that we did in those 2 years, I think we had about 12 or 13 sites. 8 had sufficient disease, so I discard the others, and the data that I work with are just from the 8 where the disease was pretty good. We take wilt ratings starting in late July, the disease incidence, and go until about the 1st of September. We stop when the plants are starting to senesce because we cannot accurately distinguish between wilt and senescence once we get into September. Then we harvest the plots with a 2-row stripper. It's a John Deere 484 typically. We take subsamples, we gin those, and then to get the percent lint because we are stripping, so we have a lot of crap in there as well as seed weight. So we've got to gin the samples to actually know what our lint is. And then we have that tested with HVI testing at Texas Tech International Textile Center to get a loan value. So the parameters of interest that I'm going to discuss are pounds of lint per acre, the incidence of wilt, which is the number of plants. We rate it with wilt divided by the total number of plants in the plot, and the value per acre. And that value per acre is your yield times the loan value. And then we subtract out the seed costs and the technology feed costs. And the website there at the bottom is our source that we go to for our seed and technology feed costs for our area. So I can combine data across fields because we work with anywhere from 50 to 100 varieties a year, and they're not all at each of the sites. They're spread out across the sites. We try to pick two sites in our more northern areas, 2 kind of in the middle high plains and 2 in the southern high plains is usually how I try to do it. So to combine sites, I use these relative values. So I take our wilt, our percent wilt for a variety. Let's say we got 20% wilt for a certain variety, and I divide that by the average highest average wilt for a variety at that site. So let's say the worst variety had 40% wilt on that date, and I'm interested in a variety that had 20%. Its relative wilt rating then would be 0.5, or half of what the worst variety was at that site. So that allows me to combine across sites to some extent and make comparisons that way. Pounds of lint is the same way. We look at the average lint yield for a variety at a site, and we divide that by the highest average yield at that site. So again, it's on a 0-to-1 scale, and same with the value per acre. Everything's put on a 0-to-1 scale then. With the analysis, we are dealing with an uneven number of sites for each variety, anywhere from 2 to 7 sites for each of the varieties that I'm going to talk about. I've just given a little bit of code there that I use with the Proc Mixed. Proc Mixed is new to a lot of us, including me, and so this happens to be what I do with Proc Mixed, right or wrong. I'm not a statistician, but that's what I've been recommended to do. So there it is. And then we use the LS means statement to get the variety means that I'm going to use. And then this PDIF option allows you to make pairwise comparisons. You don't get like A, B, C, D, those kind of numbers to separate varieties with this Proc Mixed. But you can make pairwise comparisons. So I can pretty well track where the differences start to occur between varieties. The sites that I'm going to present, we have 3 from 06, Hale, Hockley, and Lubbock County, and we have 5 from 07, Floyd, Hockley, Dawson, Gaines, and Garden City sites. The wilt range, when I was using the wilt values in like Hale County, we had between 11 and 30% for the varieties there. Yields averaged between 753 and 1,400 pounds. The value associated with the varieties averaged from $234 to $704 at that site. And you can just kind of go down and read for yourself the range. And the what we saw was basically sometimes a 2 to 3X difference in yield and a 2 to 3X difference in value at a lot of these sites. And you can look at kind of the range of wilt values I have there. I'll just give you a second for that. The Dawson 07 has no value because the lint has, I haven't gotten the HVI ratings yet back on that. So the varieties at that site are only going to be included in the yield comparison and wilt comparisons. Oops. All right, let's look at the data. Let's see. Okay. Relative yield, the green stands for Delta Pineland varieties and Paymaster varieties. The blue is Fibermax varieties. The black is Next Gen varieties. The turquoise or pink is AFD varieties. The yellow is Phytogen varieties, abbreviated as PG. The light blue is Stoneville varieties. The red are Cotton States type varieties. There's kind of a, let me use the pointer. So you go down here, this color is Altex, and I think this color here at the end, that is Americot varieties. So you can just get a sense from the coloring that your best yields, you've got a few Delta Pine here, Delta Pine 455, BGRR, Delta Pine here is, or this was actually Paymaster 2326 Roundup Ready, a stripper type. And you've got some Delta Pines in here, some of their new varieties, Delta Pine 167 Flex, et cetera. You've got a big group of Fibermax varieties. And the old standbys that we currently recommend, Fibermax 960BR and the 960B2R, we've got some here's the 960B2R listed. The 989 is here. But a lot of these other blues are all from the 958 background in Fibermax, and they're flex varieties. So we have the 9058 flex. We've got 9150 flex, which is a selection from it. We have the 9180 B2 flex. So all those blues that aren't the 960 BRs or the 989 BR types, they're flex varieties from FiberMax out of that 958 background. And then you can see, so if you're interested in things that will yield well under wilt, you're looking at just a few companies, basically. Your FiberMax, you've got some Delta Pine choices here. This is a stripper type here that you really can't consider unless you're in the High Plains, probably. And this next gen variety is 2448R, is kind of an old variety now, kind of a mix of a stripper picker type, I think was how it was developed. So you really have those are your choices. You know, we get down here, we're really starting to compromise what we can yield. And here's your relative dollar per acre. You know, same varieties are on top, except now you see a little bit bigger cluster of Delta Pine. So we had some Paymaster 2326 Roundup Ready, Delta Pine 455 BGRR, and then Delta Pine 167 Flex really improved its position. It was down there around 15, and now it's listed here at number 5. So we saw a little bit of a better movement with some of the Delta Pine stuff, but you know, still your choices are Delta Pine, FiberMax, and these two AFD stripper types. Your first Stoneville variety, that's Stoneville 66-22 Flex that occurred right there. So that's what you got. Relative wilt, here's the ratings. There was not a very good correlation with wilt and yield out of these data sets. Paymaster 2326 is the most resistant, and then FiberMax 1880 B2 Flex, followed by FiberMax 1840 B2 Flex, followed by AFD 5064 Flex, AFD 5065 Flex, B2 Flex. So those were the most resistant varieties, but you really didn't see a good relationship between wilt and yield. Here is correlation, pretty bad. Just to kind of summarize groupings now, if you're interested in a flex variety, and I'm just listing the top 22% in terms of value, FiberMax 9058 Flex, 9150 Flex, 9180 B2 Flex, Delta Pine 167 Flex, FiberMax 9063 B2 Flex, and FiberMax 9060 Flex. The average wilt for those varieties was 71% of, on that 0 to 1 scale, they were pretty high on the high end. If you go back to the older RR-type varieties that we've recommended in the past, Delta Pine 455, FiberMax 960, and then FiberMax 989 types, and their average wilt ratings were 55%. If we go back to a stripper or a combo stripper type, like Paymaster 2326 or Next Gen 2448R, then we're looking at wilt ratings of about 36%. And all of these yielded in the top 22% of that list. So whatever one fits your needs. Conclusions, the Roundup Ready Flex varieties surprised me. They were very competitive yield-wise with the older varieties in wilt fields. I shudder to say that because they had a lot more wilt. And I don't like recommending varieties that get a lot of wilt, but they did in all these different sites. They competed very well. So I guess they're going to join the list. And that's it. Are there any questions? Yeah, I mean, we've got high levels. Some of these fields were close to 200 propagules per cc soil as it is. Yes, I mean, they were all above 20, and you know, that's minimally what I like to see, but some of them were 50, 80, 180. I mean, we're getting some pretty high counts in the soil. We really are. So, Jason Wooders. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, in the back. Yes, sir. The problem is you'd need so many years. I mean, anytime you're putting wheat or if you're putting sorghum or corn in the field, you're not really building up your wilt, but you're not going down much either. And so it would take a lot of years, potentially maybe even 5 to 10, especially if you've got real high levels in the soil, to bring those numbers down where it make a difference. We were in a field in 06. We didn't show the data because we didn't get much wilt there. And the year before, that farmer had a lot of wilt, so we picked it as a test site, and I didn't test the soil. Well, I tested the soil that next year, and he only had 3.5 propagules per cc soil. And so if you put in like a FiberMax variety, he didn't see any wilt. But if you put in a more susceptible variety, he got clobbered. So threshold is probably somewhere there around 3-5 propagules per cc soil, where you're going to start to see, you know, if you use a better variety, you won't see it. Somewhere around 10 probably gives you wilt with any variety, or 20, somewhere in that range. But if you grow a really susceptible variety, you can't hardly have any propagules there at all, or you're going to see quite a bit. So, yes, Greg.
I guess your assumption on the newer varieties is they've got better yield potential versus
their heavy tolerance. Most of our flex data came from 07. And we had a range of disease in those sites, but overall we weren't as severe as the year before. And so in the 06, we had just a little bit of data on the flex, and they didn't look very good. At least the ones that looked good, at least the 958 types that we had in our tests in 06. But we had at most one data set on each one. Well, I put them in every site, a lot of them in every site this year, so we had a very good, robust data set. And they yielded across the board, the heavier pressure sites and where we had less wilt. And so, you know, I'm very uncomfortable with the situation. But we did have two sites this year with pretty good pressure where the disease came in early and was pretty significant. And we had three sites where it came in pretty late. And it looked good across the board. Every single site, it was very stable. So I'm going to hope that they'll be okay. Okay, thank you.